At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary helps me understand how the State Department views events in the world that are clearly geopolitical contests that can come to blows or already have. So we go now to Ukraine. And within these hours, an announcement from NATO. This is Dateline Brussels. NATO announced that the alliance will hold a virtual meeting of foreign ministers from the 30 member nations this week to assess the situation in Ukraine and upcoming talks with Russia. The extraordinary meeting, goes the report, this is military.com, the extraordinary meeting of the alliance members on Friday, the 7th of January, will kick off a week of intense diplomacy over the military buildup on Ukraine's borders. Mary, the puzzle here again is, what is the relationship between NATO, these 30 member nations, of which the U.S. is just one, and the United States? Because within these last days, the president of the United States spoke directly to the president of Russia about Ukraine and about events, what if events going forward. So I need a better understanding. Is NATO the trail along with U.S. policy? Does NATO have a strong voice here? Because the demands by Moscow are not about the U.S. rolling back its military infrastructure, but about NATO making promises and rolling back its military infrastructure. How do these two organizations, the U.S. State Department and NATO, converse, exchange ideas, and come to decisions, Mary?
Well, NATO is the anchor of the transatlantic alliance. And so anything that concerns NATO concerns the United States. And the United States plays a major role in the agenda of NATO and urging NATO members to bolster their defense spending. We cooperate in other ways with NATO. And in the case of when, for instance, we want to abrogate treaties, we do that unanimously in NATO, as we did with the INF treaty when Russia was breaking that and we wanted out of it. NATO backed that. NATO has the capability to muster forces. It's not something that is done frequently in any great number, but NATO was active in Afghanistan. NATO has played significant roles in other conflicts. It's relevant because Vladimir Putin claims that NATO somehow threatens him. Of course, it does not. It's why Ukraine wanted into NATO, because Ukraine thought that if it were a NATO member, it would enjoy the kinds of statutory and protections that NATO affords its membership. I think at the end of the day, what Putin is doing is he's exposing the fact that NATO is now a very large organization, that it has many missions, and that it may not be able to achieve consensus in the face of challenge. Take, for instance, Germany. Germany has often given Russia the benefit of the doubt. Germany has a lot of economic ties to Moscow. Germany does not sell weapons to Ukraine to allow it to defend itself. That's very different from the way that the United States, under the prior administration, and also to a degree under this one, although not obviously not as much, views Ukraine. The Trump administration did sell Ukraine defensive weapons. We did rally partners to its defense. We punished Russia when it misbehaved by sanctioning Putin's inner circle and reducing his ability to profit from energy sales, et cetera. I think this is a pretty big test for NATO, but it's also a test for U.S. diplomacy and how effective it's going to be. And to date, it's not very effective at all.
The puzzle about NATO, Mary, is that it can be thought of as the EU as well, although it's not one-to-one. I understand that. And the EU is under severe pressure right now because of the winter, because of the uncertainty of energy sources, because of the doubts about climate change. And at the same time, Russia controls the natural gas tap into Germany, into Belarus, into across Ukraine that Europe needs. So is that a good partner to negotiate with, Mary, when it comes to the fate of the people of Ukraine, knowing that their electricity bills are climbing as they're talking?
But again, you know, this is facilitated in large part by Europe and our European partners. Nord Stream 2 wouldn't have been built without German encouragement and Danish acquiescence. Although I have to say, for the Danes, they did put up a bit of a fight there. They have a little piece of the territory that Nord Stream 2 touches. But it's important to know that, you know, Putin couldn't achieve this kind of leverage without Europe lying down. And the issue with NATO is that NATO is based on consensus. So if you have these partners that are profiting off of Russian gas, remember Gerhard Schroeder, former chancellor of Germany, who was
Gazprom.
Chair of Gazprom. You have free societies that nominally should share the same goals, not really sharing the same goals in practice. But at the end of the day, John, if Putin, you know, went into Ukraine again, or if he took a larger gamble going into the Baltics or Belarus or further into Georgia or what have you, it may not be NATO's decision who acts. I mean, those nations would defend themselves vigorously. Of course, you may want NATO to act, but I'm not sure that of the extent of what they would do, particularly with this current administration in Washington. And I say that because I've been reading through, you know, some of the readouts of the calls between President Biden and Vladimir Putin. And in the last one, this was, I think, December 30th, whoever was talking, it was a background briefing, said that the two paths were diplomacy and deterrence. Well, okay, that sounds good, but where's the deterrence? There's no deterrence here, and that's the problem. Putin feels like he has the upper hand, and in many respects he does.
And Mary, in our last minute, I observed that all of the conditions that are now in place for this contest were in place during the Trump administration and were in place during the Obama administration. What has changed, Mary? Is it the new administration to be tested? Is that what we're witnessing, a test? We have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, look, the withdrawal in Afghanistan was a debacle and exhibited to the world American weakness to the extent that we haven't seen since the Carter era. The appeasement of Iran, the softening of rhetoric and appeasement of China. All of these things combine to show bad guys like Putin that, hey, now might be the time to make your move. And I'm not against talking to people like Putin, but you have to do it from a position of strength. And my fear here is that the current administration in Washington is speaking from a position of great weakness.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo during the Trump administration. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.